This episode of the OrthoBullets podcast will go over the topic of sternoclavicular dislocation from the trauma section on orthobullets.com. Sternoclavicular dislocations can be either traumatic or atraumatic. Traumatic dislocations can be directed anterior, which is more common, or posterior, where the mediastinal structures are at risk. And remember that it's important to distinguish a sternoclavicular dislocation from a medial clavicle physeal fracture, as the physis does not fuse until age 20 to 25. The mechanism for a sternoclavicular dislocation is usually a high-energy injury, like from a motor vehicle accident or contact sports. Atraumatic subluxations occur with overhead elevation of the arm, and affected patients are typically younger. Many of them demonstrate signs of generalized ligamentous laxity, and any subluxation usually reduces with lowering the arm. Treatment is reassurance and local symptomatic treatment. Now let's go over some relevant anatomy. The medial clavicle is the first bone to ossify and the last physis to close. Again, that occurs at age 20 to 25. With respect to the sternoclavicular joint, as far as the osteology, it is a diarthrodial saddle joint. It is incongruous with approximately 50% contact, and it is composed of fibrocartilage. With respect to the stability of the sternoclavicular joint, stability depends on ligamentous structures. The posterior capsular ligament is the most important structure for anterior-posterior stability. The anterior sternoclavicular ligament is the primary restraint to superior displacement of the medial clavicle. Again, the anterior sternoclavicular ligament is the primary restraint to superior displacement of the medial clavicle. The costoclavicular or rhomboid ligament has an anterior fasciculus that resists superior rotation and lateral displacement, and the posterior fasciculus resists inferior rotation and medial displacement. Again, the anterior fasciculus resists superior rotation and lateral displacement, and the posterior fasciculus resists inferior rotation and medial displacement. Finally, the intraarticular disc ligament prevents medial displacement of the clavicle and is the secondary restraint to superior clavicle displacement. As far as the presentation of sternoclavicular dislocation, symptoms of anterior dislocation is deformity with a palpable bump. Symptoms of posterior dislocations can include dyspnea or dysphagia, and or tachypnea and stridor that is worse when supine. On physical exam, palpation may reveal a prominence that increases with arm abduction and elevation. You may find decreased arm range of motion. With respect to neurovascular status, there may be paresthesias in the affected upper extremity and or venous congestion or diminished pulses when compared with the contralateral side. Provocative maneuvers include turning the patient's head to the affected side, which may relieve pain. As far as imaging, recommended views on radiographs include AP and serendipity views. As far as findings, a sternoclavicular dislocation is difficult to visualize on AP. However, a serendipity view, where the beam is positioned at 40 degrees of a cephalic tilt, is the money shot for this particular condition, where an anterior dislocation will show that the affected clavicle is above the contralateral clavicle, and a posterior dislocation will show that the affected clavicle is below the contralateral clavicle. However, CT scan is the study of choice for a sternoclavicular dislocation. Axial views can visualize mediastinal structures and injuries, and CT can differentiate a sternoclavicular dislocation from physeal fractures. Treatment for sternoclavicular dislocation can be non-operative or operative. Non-operative management consists of reassurance and local symptomatic treatment, and the indications for this are atraumatic subluxation or for chronic anterior dislocations that are greater than 3 weeks old. Typically, patients are given a sling for comfort, and they may return to unrestricted activity by 3 months. Operative management can include close reduction under general anesthesia plus or minus thoracic surgery, open reduction and soft tissue reconstruction with thoracic surgery backup, or a medial clavicle excision. Close reduction under general anesthesia plus or minus thoracic surgery is indicated for acute anterior dislocations that are less than 3 weeks old or acute posterior dislocations that are less than 3 weeks old. If the reduction is stable, patients are placed in a Valpo bandage for 6 weeks. However, you may need a plaster jacket or a figure of eight bandage to distract the shoulder. Elbow exercises are typically started at 3 weeks, and patients typically return to sports at 3 months. If the reduction is unstable, you can either accept the deformity or do a medial clavicle excision, which we'll talk about in a minute. An open reduction and soft tissue reconstruction with thoracic surgery backup is indicated for a posterior dislocation that has failed closed reduction, where patients may exhibit dysphagia, shortness of breath, and/or decreased peripheral pulses. Medial clavicle excisions are indicated for chronic/recurrent sternoclavicular dislocations, whether anterior or posterior, or for persistent sternoclavicular pain. Now, let's talk about some of these techniques in a little bit more detail. A closed reduction is done under general anesthesia. As far as the reduction technique, place the patient supine with the arm at the edge of the table and prep the entire chest. Abduct and extend the arm while applying axial traction and direct pressure. Simultaneously apply direct posterior pressure over the medial clavicle and manipulate the medial clavicle with a towel clip or the fingers. As far as the approach for a medial clavicle excision, an incision is made over the medial clavicle. And as far as the resection, the costal clavicular ligaments must be preserved, and you will preserve it by resecting less than 15 millimeters of the medial clavicle. And make sure to repair the costal clavicular ligaments if they are injured. That's all for this review about sternoclavicular dislocations. Hopefully that was helpful. Look out for questions related to this topic on this weekend's question session, and hopefully this episode will have prepared you for that review. This is the OrthoBullets podcast, a daily audio review session by OrthoBullets, the free learning and collaboration community for orthopedic surgery education. If you're enjoying the podcast so far, please consider leaving us a 5-star rating and writing us a review on iTunes. It will help us spread the word and increase our discoverability tremendously. Thanks so much, and we'll see you all tomorrow.